name's Michelle Owu, and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust. The aim of the research is to compile a portrait of contemporary Britain. Can you please tell me your name, your age, and where you come from?
Jonathan Harkins, aged 41, from Edinburgh.
How are you?
Very well.
Can you tell me how you heard about this project?
I actually saw it on the website, yeah, just as a direct link on surfing.
What was it about the project that inspired you to take part, though, do you think?
I've always been a big admirer of Anthony Gormley's work. I've followed various things that he's done in the past, and I do a lot of work down at Gateshead, so go past the Angel of the North a lot. And it is one of these real iconic pieces that you thought, there's probably something special going on here. And when you get a chance to be a part of something like that, jump at it.
What is it, do you think, you like about his work?
I think it's that it touches like the common man. You know, it's very much for the people. And so that's very apparent about what they're trying to do in the plinth as well. But even, you know, just going back to the ancient earth, it's something that I think it hits people every single day as they drive past it, every single day the way they work, and it's the way that that sort of artistic side is weaving into just their everyday consciousness. And so that's something that potentially might happen here as well. You know, you get that chance of a living portrait of Britain, of every single person, every someone having an equal voice in it, and just a snapshot in time, but not a still snapshot, like a living snapshot. And then you get new things like different means of interaction, you know, with Twitter and the live streaming and all the different things that are happening, that adds a different dimension onto it. And I've already seen, with, even though it's early into the run that's here of the 100 days, already seen the different media reaction that there's been.
Yeah, and
The way it's been used in Trafalgar Square, you know, and what's actually happening with the noise and the ruckus and the way that Trafalgar Square has been used. You know, it looks against the Portrait Gallery, and they've got a different view to the National Gallery themselves. So it's stirring it up a bit.
What do you think has been the reaction where you come from your community?
I haven't told that many people. You know, from confirmation of a place to actually, you know, working out what I was going to do, which I'm not still completely sure about, then it's been one of these things that overall the reaction's been wow, and then interest, and then penny drops, and then wow, how did you do that, and what are you going to do, and how's it going to work, and very positive, you know, from everybody involved, very positive. And I worked for BT, you know, so I'd gone into the workplace as well, you know, because BT is an employer, more than 100,000 people, you know, across all of the UK, you know, and this embodiment of what it means to be a person in Britain today, you know, it's different when you look at an awful lot of your life as your working life as well, what it means to be working in a very changing company as well, particularly a big corporate that's covering a lot of different people. And so it was interesting to go into the company and say, I'm looking to do this in my own time. See, there's a potential overlay, you know, to look at how this reflects BT, or how it reflects a working life, and how you balance working life with leisure time, with being a citizen, you know, a member of, you know, wider society. And I'm active in certain things that BT gets involved in, with corporate social responsibility and volunteering, and a number of the charity works that they do, as well as the things they actually do to try and grow their own people. You know, it's not all altruistic. They're saying that they do things back into the community. It helps the positioning of, you know, BT, and it helps the empowerment and the, you know, self-esteem of the workers themselves.
Can you tell me what you're wearing, please?
I'm wearing a Childline t-shirt in a, what kind of green would you call that? I don't know. A bright green. Yeah, so BT is a corporate partner with Childline. It's one of its more favoured charities that it works quite extensively with. I'd initially approached BT to say, why not do something with London and 2012, you know, with the Olympics, you know, the big sponsor there. Or why not do something with our volunteering campaign, where they want to get at least 40% of the overall workforce, so 40, 50,000 people actively involved in regular volunteering work out in the community. We thought we could do something with the big work that we do with climate change, you know, and so maybe some sort of bigger statement, but with a softer edge for the corporate side. They said, no, it's not something that we think is appropriate to a BT corporate thing. You know, why don't we pass it across to one of our partners and play a charity angle on it? And so the idea came through from speaking to charities and speaking to Childline specifically. Yeah, why don't we do something, you know, and they were going with this rule of one, you know, 1 hour, one man, you know, just one idea type thing that was there. And originally there was the flurry of excitement, could we raise £1 million, given that that was about a week ago. And they said, probably unless we got some significant corporate sponsors coming in very quickly with single big donations, you're not going to get that through. So the idea came through, why don't we go for One Love and just do some proclamations of love? And we can maybe have a very soft sort of technology backup type thing with maybe people texting in. So they do a lot of the other charity work behind the scenes, BT, for the likes of Children in Need, or they also do the big, you know, lines for the X Factor and so on. So there is the multimedia backup that's there. So we've got a text number, you know, the 60155, that you can just text in One Love to that and your message, and hopefully we'll get some messages through that we can read out on the plinth. And so we've got a megaphone and see if we can start interacting with people, and if they text through to the number, then they can get the message put out. So that's what we're aiming to do.
How did you feel when you heard that you had a place on the plinth?
Ecstatic. I had to double check the email a few times, but it was a case of, I like the adage, you know, in art sometimes, leap in the net will appear, you know. So I filled in the application. It's like pretty much filling in a lottery ticket. It'll never be me, but there you go. And it was only after that I realised that the ratio of applicants to people, I don't know what it is just now, but at the time, particularly geographically, I had a fair chance, but I'm still absolutely delighted to be involved with it. I think it's one of these things that you can't have any regrets about it. You know, there have been concerns about how do we get down, who's going to come, is it just going to be me, do I bring the family, do I just bring my wife, who's going to look after the kids, how do I do this, and lots of questions and logistics and, you know, other things that get mixed up in the whole thing, and what am I going to do, and how am I going to be, and what are people going to say? And you end up just saying, well, let's just go, let's just do it, and we'll worry about most of these things afterwards.
So who have you brought with you?
We drove down yesterday, and I've got my wife Leslie, and I've got my three beautiful children who are playing outside in Trafalgar Square just now. Jack, who's 10, Iona, who's 5, and Daisy, who's 4. And they're just delighted that the sun's come out and they get a chance to run around. And at the moment, I'm hoping they're not actually in the fountain, they're just sitting at the edge, you know.
What are your hopes and fears for this experience today?
I hope everyone involved with it has a lot of fun. I hope we raise a lot of money and a lot of profile for the charities. So there's very positive things that I think come out of it. Not too fearful of being egged or tomatoed or whatever. I think with the reaction that people are giving, you know, to those that are up there, it seems very positive for those that are there, if a bit quizzical at times. But no, it's been something that's just a very positive. I'm naturally very nervous. I'm not sure how many texts are going to come through, so do I completely dry up? Do I get all streamed? You know, is it all going to be different when you're up there to down here? There's a level of excitement, big level of nervousness. And at the moment, we actually only have about 4 texts that have come through. So they're all supposed to be feeding through to my thing. So I'm hoping that it might be one of these things that it might be quiet the first 5 minutes and then build as a crescendo through the hour. So you actually get quite a journey, a roller coaster in the hour that you're there. So I don't think it'll be a linear 60 minutes, you know, with the same experience all the way through. I think it'll start. It'll go somewhere on the way and I'll have a bit of an adventure. And then it'll end all too quickly and that'll be it.
How does this compare with what you do for a living?
It's got comparisons and it's got wild differences. I work for BT as a project director looking after Scottish Government customers. So the basic roles that I do in life are completely different to anything that would touch on this. But there are some kind of overlap areas that are nice, you know, that as an employee with BT, I do feel quite empowered to lift your head and have a voice and, you know, be creative about the things that are there. And I've got a passion for those that work around me in BT or those that live and work around me, you know, just trying to get them to do more, you know, and just go for it and live, you know, don't always be lowest common denominator. Try to be proud to have your own little voice. And this is a great platform for, you know, showing hopefully that you can do something different. It's not too difficult, even though opportunities like this don't come along every day.
How would you describe yourself? How would you paint that? Paint a picture of the kind of person.
I'm a dad, I'm a husband, I'm a fairly happy, go lucky type person. I've got a loving family, loving friends around me, so I'm very lucky. In terms of hobbies and interests, I like to paint, I like to cook. You know, I've written some cookbooks in the past and different things like that. So I like to entertain with friends and socialize, have people around. And a lot of things at the moment focus towards the kids, you know, doing the taxi around, taking them to football, take them to swimming, take them to dancing, you know, and all the different things. But there's a certain amount of living through them as well and seeing the joy of their eyes that settles things down a wee bit and puts things in a bit more context.
How is it that you come to write cookbooks?
I've always liked cooking. I've always done a lot of cooking, and I always was struck on the cookbook side that it's not just about the food. A lot of it's around the people. You can get a perfectly simple recipe with perfect ingredients and a really stressed cook, that, and it's not the cooking skills that are making the difference on, say, they're going to have a dinner party. So one of the things that I did was dinner party, you know, the wrap around it, how you get the run up, you know, to it. So set expectations, invite people early, have a nice invite that's there, have some sort of a theme, get people to bring things along so that they're involved in it, run in type things, like put a big focus on just getting them a drink or something to eat, or, you know, relaxing them and yourself down. Do the prep beforehand, you know, prep things easy so that on the day you can really relax. And through the meal, you know, the transitions, don't have it that you're always in the kitchen, or have it that if you want that you can squirrel people into the kitchen if you want that one-to-one conversation or whatever else. Make it as interactive as you can on the table, in the kitchen, whatever you're doing. Still keep yourself relaxed, keep the wine flowing, different things that'll be there that'll add and move the direction of the evening or whatever you're doing in different ways. And a lot of things like after dinner entertainment, you know, different plays or different things or games or things that you can do that just make the evening relaxed and enjoyable, and getting the most of meeting your friends, make it a bit of an event, and then roll it into different events that there can be through the year. So when there's a big focus on seasonal or local or, you know, best quality organic ingredients, it can be about seasonal events, you know, through the year for getting your pals together. So it's not just about Valentine's or Burns or Christmas. It can be about birthdays and other types of celebrations that you can start to build up.
So what kind of food do you like to eat?
I like everything. There's nothing I don't eat. I like simply prepared sharing food. And being a Scot, there's a tendency towards comfort food as well. So I'd say my favourite food would be, you know, stories, and, you know, and just to sit down, there it is, and keep going till the pot's done. But I'm completely open to all sorts of fresh flavours and all sorts of different things going. I've started growing a lot more and more in veg, and I'm hoping that that's going to develop on. I like to do a bit of foraging and see what's around. There's a lot of great stuff that's in Edinburgh, you know, that you can actually, and if you can add that into the mix, you know, that you're out on a walk with the kids, and then bring something home and cook with it, whether it's wild garlic flowers or whether it's a bucket of brambles, or a bit nervous and going down the mushroom type side, but I'd love it if somebody, you know, educated, knew and could help me through that sort of side. So
what
yeah, there's all sort of things in the mix.
Do the children enjoy foraging?
They enjoy foraging, and they definitely enjoy cooking. They're at the age that, as long as they can crack eggs, they feel that they're cooking. So we make a lot of pancakes, a lot of crepes, a lot of cakes, yeah, and they all have to be pink, you know, and iced up and whatever, but...
Siren game passed in the background. Are you like to write any more cookery books, you think?
The two that I'd written, I lost. I just had them on the hard drive of a laptop that was stolen. And so I've been working on the idea of doing some food blogs, and I've started doing those a little bit. But I'm probably just a bit too time poor, you know, to commit to, you know, 3-4 updates a week and these kind of things. So yes, it's one of these things that I must do, and I think I've been saying that for a few years now, so I need to get back to them and get them done.
Is there anything else you'd like to say?
No, thanks for the opportunity. It's a fantastic thing, and I'm just looking forward to getting up there.
Thank you very much.